Guys, and so glad to be here. How many guys were here for Thursday's message? Okay, all none of you, basically, but no, seriously, we got a couple of you guys. I encourage you to check that out. All messages that I had the privilege of invading Pastor JD's pulpit while I'm out here is completely different. The message on Thursday, of course, we dealt with the Jewish people, and unfortunately, the news that the Bible tells us, there is going to be another Jewish Holocaust. And we dealt with the facts, unfortunately, even here in the United States of America, that mindset to help that Holocaust to be produced, unfortunately, in the seven-year tribulation, that mindset, the anti-Semitism mindset, is here in the United States on a massive scale. And I'll just call it for what it is. It's through our secular educational system, the secular media, the fake news media, and, of course, the Democrat Party. So just dealing with facts. So if you want to get that, that's up online. I believe you can check that out. This message here, we're going to be dealing with Jerusalem and the conflict going on there with our president, President Trump. And the message following, Lord willing, for still alive and still here, because the rapture is imminent, folks, we're going to deal with, once again, our president, but this time, the rebuilt Jewish temple. How close are we to that? So that will be, Lord willing, the message after that. Oh, thank you, man. You guys must be Christians here or something. This is amazing. But think of everything. But speaking of the studies, what we're dealing with while I'm out here is a part of a, I'm just hitting highlights, folks. It's a 20-part study over 20-plus hours called The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising, Volume 1. And it's all on the Jewish people and the Antichrist, all current information. You can get it in a book format or DVDs. We just, and I'm not preaching on this, but we just released Volume 2. And this is all on modern technology. Big Brother-related issues, all kinds of crazy stuff, Mark of the Beast, Cashless Society, all kinds of stuff. If you, we got some out there on the table if you'd like to take advantage of that today, or you can order them from our teaching website, getalifemedia.com. What's that? Getalifemedia.com. Who said repetition increases remembrance? I did. Getalifemedia.com. And you could take advantage of that as well. Also, by the way, we do not copyright our media. And all of our media has the gospel on it after each teaching. I pop up back on the screen, give the gospel, encourage people to receive Christ their Savior. So it's great for evangelism. If you get the DVDs, make a billion copies. We don't care. Get God's word out. Get the gospel out. And so let's work together as God's team. Amen. One last thing, too. If you wanted to stay in touch with our ministry, certainly the website, what was it? Getalifemedia.com. That's right. Or we have a new app. It's called the, unfortunately, Billy Crone app. My name, search for my name, Android or Apple devices for either. Just search for my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, and you can download the app. The app unlocks about 8 years' worth of material, all for free. You can watch online studies galore, including prophecy studies, but a whole lot more. You can get that for free. So, all right, by way of segment, that's about it. Before we get started, I'm also told, I hope you don't mind this. This is something we do in Vegas. We sing happy birthday to people. And I was told that somebody's having a birthday today. Her name is Denise, right there. She's trying to hide in the third row, right? And so we're not just going to sing happy birthday. We're going to do it the way we do it. Sorry, you know, maybe I'm going to torture you. We're going to do it Las Vegas style. Now, what I mean by Las Vegas style is you can't just sing happy birthday, Denise, on the count of three. You got to sing it with your best impression of a Las Vegas lounge lizard, right? You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. That's right, you right there. Happy birthday to you. Give it up for Denise, 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 Denise. Happy birthday, dear Denise. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and let's begin in prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. What a great day it is to celebrate as we've sung through music. What you've done for us, you've completely cleansed us, washed us clean, and that means we're not just your children, but we're your children who've been rescued from your wrath, which means we're not going in the seven-year tribulation. And so we thank you for that, let alone hell itself for all eternity. And so we thank you for our future. Nobody has a brighter future than we, your church. But God, you've still got us here because we're on a mission. And our mission is not to goof off and get distracted in this world. It's to get your gospel out, the good news that other people besides us can go to heaven as well and escape your wrath to come. God, as your church, as your people, cause it that that would be our mindset. And that if you were to come and get us today, and you could, that that's what you would find us doing, being a faithful bride, living for you, serving you, and certainly getting your gospel out. And God, speaking of which, if there's anybody here today in this sanctuary or watching online, whatever, God, only you know the heart. But you know the heart. I can be fooled, but you can't. If there's somebody here today who is not truly born again, God, would you please save them before it's too late? Arrest their heart and mind, God. Please now, by your Spirit, remove the scales, the hardness, and cause them to cry out to you, Jesus, and ask for the forgiveness of their sins, that they would not be left behind. This is not a game. So please use our study, God. Please bless them by the power of your Spirit. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Hey, for those of you hooked on calendars and dates, what was yesterday? Rhymes with Saturday. Let's try that. Saturday, okay, it rhymes with Saturday. Saturday, hey, the funny thing about Saturdays, you know, you get all your chores done, all that stuff done. How many guys, you get everything done, all of a sudden you're just bored. You're so bored on a Saturday, you're just looking for something to do. Anybody? Apparently you guys are all workaholics, okay, today. But you know, some people do that, right? Well, I'm going to share with you, I kid you not, apparently this is my theory. What these guys, they were so bored on a Saturday, they were looking for something to do. Okay, and what they did, I kid you not, is they went around the community and they attached a fake plastic snake to people's clothing and watched them run, okay? But let's take a look at their technique to alleviate their boredom. Let's take a look.
Yo, what's up, Jolian? Today we're going to be attaching the snake to people and seeing how they react.
Run. 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 Run.
Yeah, run is right. Wow, I'll tell you what. Now, how many guys are going to try that next Saturday? Yeah, you don't want to raise your hands, you're Christians, but we're supposed to be nice. But seriously, how many guys would say that kind of freak you out a little bit, right? If you didn't know better, putting that on you. And but folks, believe it or not, as scary as that prank was, believe it or not, it's nothing compared to what the people are going to be doing in the seven-year tribulation. They are going to be running and hiding, only it's not from a fake snake. It is going to be from all kinds of turmoil, literally the wrath of God being poured on this planet for 7 years nonstop. It's not a game. And once you're in it, unfortunately, you're stuck. You're in that thing. The point is you need to get saved right now if you're not. That's the only way that you can get out of that mess, okay? The Bible says the seven-year tribulation is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet nonstop for 7 years. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen, and that unless God shortened the time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Now, how many of you guys would say, if you knew that there was a way out of that future event, okay, it would be to your advantage to run to rescue, run to the way out. Amen? That's through Jesus Christ. And that's the privilege of the message that you and I get to share with our lost and dying world, okay? And the Bible's clear, folks. God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And how does he demonstrate that? He tells us future events. Nearly one-third of this book is devoted to future events. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish. He wants other people besides us, did you know this, to be saved. Okay? In fact, turn to somebody and say that. God wants somebody besides you to be saved. We need to be reminded of that. Okay? That's why we're still here. Okay? But he lets us know the future because he wants us to know. Now, he doesn't tell us the exact day nor the hour, certainly of the rapture. And as we saw Thursday, you know why? What would we do as Christians? We'd goof off to the very end, wouldn't we? Okay, unfortunately. And then there's, oh, I guess it's 5 minutes to go. Better start serving Jesus. Better start witnessing, right? So he doesn't tell us. Okay, and certainly if the person's lost, why doesn't he tell the lost person? Because what would they do? They'd goof off to the very end. They'd send up a storm all the way. Oh, 5 minutes. Better clean up my act. Better cry out to Jesus now, right? He doesn't tell us the exact date nor the hour, but he does give us a sign, folks, when it is getting close, okay? And one of the signs we're going to see today that's getting close, believe it or not, has to do with the Jewish people, specifically Jerusalem, and believe it or not, our current president, President Donald Trump, okay? And the Bible says that in the last days, Jerusalem is going to become a major mega source of conflict, and our president has just lit the fire in a big, mighty way. I don't disagree with what he did. I think it's fantastic. But folks, it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. We're getting close to the very end. Now, as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. If you got your Bibles, open them to me to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And we're going to see what is happening to not just Israel, but specifically Jerusalem in the last days. And what's that got to do with today? What's that got to do with our president? Well, we'll see. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, it's page 1537 in my Bible, if that helps you. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to turn there. If you need a little bit more help, typically, unfortunately, look for that portion of the Bible that has the white, crisp, clean pages, no wrinkles whatsoever, almost like you've hardly ever been there. Okay, hopefully that's not true. But I stalled enough time. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let's see what God's word has to say about Israel and Jerusalem in the last days. But here's what he says. Verse 1, this is the word of the Lord concerning who? Israel, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares. What's he say? I'm going to make who? Jerusalem, a cup that sends all, how many? All the surrounding peoples reeling. Literally there in the Hebrew, trembling. And dare I say, even trembling with anger, right? In fact, he says, Judah will be besieged as well as, what's he say a second time? Jerusalem. Verse 3, on that day when how many nations of the earth? All the nations of the earth are gathered against her, Jerusalem. I will make who? Jerusalem, an immovable rock for all the nations. Literally, a heavy, heavy burden. Okay? In fact, all who try to move it will injure themselves. Okay, so here we see in our text that basically it wraps it up. Hey, don't mess with Israel, right? You mess with Israel, you try to injure Israel, and specifically Jerusalem, you're going to get it. Now, we saw that in our Thursday message. That's God fulfilling part of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Don't mess with Israel. God is not done with Israel. And don't listen to the lie replacement theology that says the church has replaced Israel. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is not done with the Jewish people. Now, but what I want to hone in on there is not just that Israel is going to be a major ongoing conflict in the world scene, which is happening, by the way, which is in the news virtually every single day. Israel there is so tiny, folks, you can get over 17 of them in the one state of California. It's just a little teeny tiny piece of real estate, and yet what's the world talking about? Israel, Israel, Israel. Now, Zechariah, he hones in even more specific on another prophecy here that we just read. He didn't just mention Israel. Of all places, he said there's going to be a major conflict. It's going to send all the peoples reeling. They're going to be trembling, and there's just going to be a gas and this burden. Of all places for him to say that was going to happen, notice where it was. Jerusalem. Not once, not twice, three times. And if you understand biblical interpretation, all of God's word is important, but when God repeats himself in a text, he's trying to get your attention, right? The Bible, let me give you an example. The Bible says that God's not just holy, he's what? He is holy, he is holy, he is holy. Now, all of God's attributes are important, but man, you better understand this one called holiness. Holiness answers to me everything. Why is there an eternal damnation in hell? Why is God's wrath coming? Why is he against sin? Why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross for you and I? How awesome is God's mercy and free? You need to understand the holiness of God, right? But here we see God screaming out to us in a text, not once, not twice. Hey, guess what? Here's a big sign. How do you know you're living the last days? You better pay attention to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem specifically. And again, he called out a specific city in Israel, right? He didn't say Tel Aviv. He didn't say Haifa. He didn't say Beersheba. He said Jerusalem. Jerusalem in the last days, people are going to be angered. They're going to be trembling on a global basis. They're just going to be beside themselves. They're going to consider it just a big old giant burden. What are we going to do with this Jerusalem? And folks, if you're paying attention to the news, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't. And what's going on with current events, even with our own president, our president has just lit the fire on, I believe, this prophecy.
Our whole world is still in an uproar over his recent decision to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to where? Jerusalem. And folks, I'm telling you, the whole world, they are absolutely trembling. They're upset over that. Let's just take a look at one news report.
The U.S. embassy in Jerusalem officially opened today. Listen to what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had to say at today's ceremony. Roll tape.
Last December, President Trump became the first world leader to recognize Jerusalem as our capital. And today, the United States of America is opening its embassy right here in Jerusalem. Thank you. Thank you, President Trump, for having the courage to keep your promises.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
That totally destroys any chance that he will play a role as an honest broker. That takes away honest, takes away broker, takes away chaperone of peace, takes away the deal of the century, and makes them beyond us, and gone into the files of history.
And what have they warned their families about? The conflict that this decision that our president has made. Again, I'm not disagreeing with what he did. I think it's the right and appropriate thing to do. Okay, but you got to understand, folks, our world is absolutely going crazy over what our president did. And frankly, he had the guts to do what nobody else would do, right? Let me give you just a little historical perspective, right? At that time, presidential candidate Bill Clinton, believe it or not, he promised to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv there, but he didn't do it, shocker. Then presidential candidate George W. Bush, he promised to do the same thing. Did he do it? Absolutely not. Shocker. Listen, then president candidate at that time, Barack Obama, listen, he refrained from making any promise of that acknowledgement, and he went on to become the most anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Israel president in the history of the United States. Okay, but here comes, at that time, as you saw in the clip, then president candidate Donald Trump, he promised to do it, and guess what? He did it. Right? And one guy said this, the promises of Clinton and Bush proved to be insincere, meaningless hot air. Obama's unwillingness to take a stand signaled that he would become the most anti-Israel president in American history. But Trump has made his promise and he is commended for doing so. In fact, here's what Trump said. He said, this recognition is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is the right thing to do. It has to be done. Why? Because whether he realizes it or not, he's got to be a part of fulfilling prophecy. Zechariah said in the last days, what's going to happen? Not Tel Aviv, not Beersheba, not any other city, but specifically Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem is going to become a cup of trembling. All nations are going to be freaking out, basically, trembling with anger. They're beside themselves. It's going to consider a burden, this issue over Jerusalem. Trump lit the fire. On a scale like we can't even believe, okay? But basically, he comes over here and says, man, it's the right thing to do, politically, and again, whether he realizes it or not, prophetically, right? One guy puts it this way. He says, listen, Jerusalem became the capital of the Jewish people some 3,000 years ago when David conquered the city originally. And during the 1,878 years that the Jewish people were evicted from the land, 70 AD, when the last temple was destroyed, Jerusalem has never served as the capital of any Arab or Muslim nation. And when the Muslim leaders of the Middle East say they want a two-state solution, they are lying. They're not about assimilation. They're about annihilation. They want a one-state solution. I'll prove that in just a little bit, Lord willing. They want it all. They want the Jewish people completely annihilated. Their desire is not a simply separate Palestinian state. Their goal is the complete annihilation of Israel and all the Jewish people. And this is why Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has often said, listen, if the Arabs put down their weapons today, there would be no more violence. But if the Jews put down their weapons today, there would be no more Israel. Said it again on Thursday, Israel is in a fight for their life, for their very existence. And our fake news media refuses to report on it. Okay? But he says the steadfast refusal of most of the world's nation to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move their embassies there, listen, is an incredible insult to the Jewish people. In fact, it's really an expression of the anti-Semitism, since no other nation has been treated in such a horrible way. And you think, well, okay, so what? So they don't, everybody always does it in Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem. What's the big deal? Let me give you a vernacular, an explanation. Here's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of some nation coming to you and I, as Americans, saying to the American people, we do not recognize Washington, D.C. as your capital, so we're going to place our embassy in Chicago. It's a slap in the face. And that's what's been going on for a long, long time. And yet here comes, guess who? Trump. Out of nowhere. And all of a sudden he says, oh yeah, watch this. And he has the guts to do what nobody would do. And again, whether he realized or not, folks, it has everything to do with fulfilling Bible prophecy. In fact, President Trump, talk about a complete reverse, of course. How many of you guys remember the Obama years? So you got to say it like a scary horror flick because it was. Oh, the Obama years. Remember those years? Right? Okay. And then all of a sudden, here comes what? Here comes Trump out of the blue. And it's not just Trump out of the blue. What's he do? He becomes, you would go from the most anti-Israel president in American history to probably the most what? Supportive, pro-Israel American president in history. In fact, it wasn't just the move to Jerusalem. Okay, the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, acknowledging Jerusalem as their capital. President Trump, whether you realize or not, he became the first sitting president to visit the Western Wall while in office. The other guys were a bunch of chicken livers. They did it 8 later. President Trump had the guts to show his support by visiting while he was in office. Let's take a look at that.
Well, President Trump will be making history in the Holy Land. He will be the first sitting U.S. president to visit the Western Wall. It is considered the most holy prayer site in Judaism.
So the visit to the Western Wall, which is in where? Jerusalem, on top of moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, has what? Created conflict, okay, as well. But again, it didn't conflict with the Jewish people. Before I get to that, let me give you what they say. They just absolutely love our president, right? The transportation minister, listen to this, is naming the new Western Wall train station after Trump. They love him. This is Israel Katz. He said, the Western Wall is the holiest place for the Jewish people, and I decided to call the train station that leads to that place after President Trump, following his historic and brave decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. And again, the Jewish people, it's kind of funny. I'll get into this more in the next message, Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, and on the temple. But they look at you and I, and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, he's your president, but God put him here for us. At a time such as this. We'll get into that, Lord willing, in the next one. But they're thrilled. In fact, they say what he's doing has prophetic implications. Let's take a look at their attitude. This is from a group of 250 Israeli rabbis. They sent a letter to Trump, thanking him and praising him for his decision. They said, "We are confident, Trump, that you will be remembered in the history of the Jewish people." How long? Forever. As one who stood at the forefront and was not afraid. You are what? You are fulfilling prophecies. That's what the Jewish rabbis think right now as we sit here. He says, "We are privileged of seeing the rebuilding of what? Jerusalem," wrote the rabbis. They quote Zechariah 8:4, "children playing in its streets, and we're confident in the fulfillment of all the prophecies." Now, another rabbi, this is a guy who works with the United Temple Mount, he sees Trump's role not just prophetically important, but similar to the Persian king Cyrus, who ended the Babylonian exile and helped with the building of the what? The second temple. That's what the whole, Lord willing, next message is all about. You don't want to miss that, okay? Now, Benjamin Netanyahu, obviously, this is great stuff. He says this, "The president's decision is an important step towards peace, for there is no peace that doesn't include where? Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel." He said, "President Trump has inscribed himself in the annals of our capital for all time. His name will be linked to others in history of Jerusalem and our people." Then Netanyahu also likened, of all parallels, our president to King Cyrus, the Persian king, who rescued the Jewish people from Babylonian captivity, and which a lot of evangelicals are starting to say as well. And they would also say this, right? "It's also significant that President Trump is the 45th American president, and the prophecy about King Cyrus delivering the Israelites from captivity appears in the 45th chapter of Isaiah." Check it out. Not in numerology or nothing like that, but as one guy says, you can't make this stuff up. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Right? But be that as may, how you like that Photoshop there? Cyrus, do the research, read Isaiah 45. Cyrus is the only Gentile in the Old Testament who's called anointed by God, and some are saying this is the perfect historical antecedent to explain Trump's presidency, a, quote, non-believer who nevertheless served as a divine vessel for divine interest, okay? In fact, even Trump admitted that evangelicals, specifically you and I Christians who are equipped in prophecy, are way more excited about his support for Israel than even the Jews. Folks, Jerusalem has to come back onto the world scene again for a couple different prophetic reasons. Number one, we know that at the second coming of Jesus, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, what's he do after he puts down the Battle of Armageddon? Revelation 19, the second coming, what's he do? Shortly thereafter, he sets up the millennial kingdom, as Pastor Mac just mentioned, okay? And guess where he's going to be ruling and reigning? Literally, the whole planet, Jerusalem, okay? Part of the Davidic promises that God's going to fulfill. But also, what do we just read in Zechariah? In the last days, who is going to become a world source of conflict of all cities on the whole planet? Where is it going to be? Where is people going to get angry over? They're upset over. They're reeling from it. It's just a big, giant burden to them. They can't believe it. Jerusalem. And President Trump has really lit the fire. Now, that's the Jewish people. They are excited about it. You and I who know better, who know the Bible, who know Bible prophecy, we're excited about it. But just like Zechariah says, all nations are in an uproar. Now, let me give you just a smidgen of that proof. Folks, this was a prophecy nearly 2,500 years ago. And we're watching it happen right now as we sit here. But let's take a look at that. This is Ayman Oda. He's the Israeli Arab political leader in the Israeli parliament. He declared, quote, "Trump is a crazy pyromaniac who is capable of setting the entire region on fire with his madness." Okay, he's talking about the move of the embassy to Jerusalem. Theresa May, even Britain got in on it, the former prime minister, she said Trump's move was unhelpful to peace in the region. Well, maybe that's why you're not in office anymore. Emmanuel Macron, he said that Trump's announcement was a, quote, unilateral decision. Let me translate that for you. You should have consulted with us first before, get out of here. We're our own nation. We can make our own decisions, right? But he's all upset over that there. The Arab League, of course, said it was dangerous and unacceptable. It's a flagrant attack on a political solution, right? Then they proceeded to call upon the nations of the world to recognize the state of Palestine and as East Jerusalem as its capital, which, of course, includes the Old City, the Temple Mount, and the Western Wall, which does not belong to them, obviously. The Palestinian Authority, shocker, Abbas, he denounced and said it would motivate extremist groups to wage a holy war. Yeah, like we're making you do it, pal. Okay, be responsible for your own behavior. Don't blame it on us. Okay, of course, Sabi Arakat, we saw earlier, he said this disqualified the United States to play any role in any peace process. President Trump just destroyed any policy of a two-state solution. Well, good, right? It belongs to Israel, right? To the Jewish people. And again, folks, they do not want a two-state solution. We are being lied to by our own media. These people, and they will announce it in their media, they want a one-state solution with only them being in existence. And again, I'll show you in just a little bit. Turkey, Erdogan, what'd he say? His country would not tolerate the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Jerusalem, he says, is our red line. Any steps against Jerusalem, notice how many times he mentions that place, historic status and holiness are unacceptable. Let's keep going on. Pope Francis, or who I like to call Mr. Boo Boo Lip, right? Now, he's doing Mr. Boo-Boo Lip over this decision because we have a whole study. I'm not even touching this topic. We have a whole hour-long study dealing with current events, Pope Francis and the Vatican trying to grab control of Jerusalem because they want to stage a one-world religion play there with the Vatican at the top. And so here comes Trump, and he messed it up. Ooh. That's his boo-boo loop. Seriously. So that's a whole other study. You need to check out that thing. But he said this. He cannot silence his deep concern over President Donald Trump recognizing the disputed city as Israel's capital. What Bible are you reading, pal? What do you mean disputed city? It's been their capital for 3,000 years. Give me a break. Then he called on all to honor the UN resolutions on the city, which is sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims. See, he wants to build a one-world religion there. Right? But that's another topic, okay? As one guy said, Pope Francis obviously needs to spend more time reading his Bible and less time appeasing radical Islam, okay? But here's a video. He's just all messed up about it. Let's take a look.
Rivolgere un accorato appello affinché sia impegno di tutti a rispettare lo status quo della città in conformità con le pertinenti risoluzioni delle Nazioni Unite.
And we've always regarded Jerusalem as a final status issue that must be resolved through direct negotiations between the two parties based on relevant Security Council resolutions.
The European Union supports the resumption of a meaningful peace process towards a two-state solution. We believe that any action that would undermine these efforts must absolutely be avoided.
He had destroyed every chance that he will play to get the deal of the century that he has been talking about.
Eine Lösung der Jerusalem-Problematik kann nur durch direkte Verhandlungen zwischen beiden Parteien gefunden werden. Alles, was sozusagen die Krise verschärft, ist kontraproduktiv in diesen Zeiten.
Jerusalem should ultimately form a shared capital between the Israeli and Palestinian states. That is, you know, we continue to support a two-state solution. We recognize the importance of Jerusalem, and our position on that has not changed.
بأن إقدامها على اتخاذ مثل هذا الإجراء الخطير ستكون له عواقب وتداعيات.
There is no alternative to this two-state solution, and Jerusalem is key to any peace agreement, and it is key to the stability of the entire region.
من تداعيات هذا القرار على استقرار المنطقة والعالم. وما يمثله هذا من إجحاف بحقوق الفلسطينيين والعالم العربي والإسلامي.
Öyle veya böyle bu iki durumda açıkçası hukuk dışı bir karar olacaktır ve bölgedeki var olan sorunları da.
Jerusalem has been the Jewish capital for 3,000 years. It was never and will never be the capital of anyone else.
Hey, it's like somebody's reading their Bible. Interesting. Is anybody starting to notice a pattern here? I mean, that's not all of them. I mean, I'm giving you just a little smidge. But what are all the world leaders in an uproar over? What are they all mad about? What are they considering? I mean, this is what this burden thing. Of all places, what is it? Jerusalem. 2,500 years ago, folks. That's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. Time to get motivated, okay? But good thing none of that was going on here in the United States. Yeah, you can see my slide, folks. Unfortunately, what I'm going to share with you happened in Times Square. Some of the most putrid, sick, satanic, anti-Semitic stuff. And by the way, you're going to see a video here in a second. And it's once again, this is what our universities are producing. This is what we dealt with on Thursday night. A university girl, and listen to the absolute venomous hatred that she has for the Jewish people. But after Trump's decision, this was what happened, not in Syria, not in Turkey, but in the United States of America. But watch this. There were chilling calls to massacre the Jewish people in the United States of America, right? First, the Muslim chants, it was down in Times Square, right? A bunch gathered there. The regular chants, you know, the anti-Israel stuff, but it began to get even worse. They began to be calling for a Muslim holy war against the Jews. And they began to chant this: we don't want no Tuesday, we want what? We want 48. Now, what are they talking about? This is their own admission, folks. They're referring to an explicit refusal of the two-state solution, which would create a Palestinian state. The number 48, of course, is in reference to 1948, okay, that led to the state of Israel. So they flat out say, we don't want that. They admit it. Then they begin getting worse, and they said, with spirit and blood, we will redeem Al-Aqsa. There is only one solution, Intifada Revolution. Al-Aqsa is one of the mosques on the Temple Mount along with the Dome of the Rock. But they said, Intifada, that means violent confrontation. So what's their solution? There's only one solution to them: violent confrontation. Get rid of the Jewish people. There will be no two-state solution. They admitted it even here in the United States. Then it got even worse. This happened again in New York Times Square. They began to call for a massacre of the Jewish people. And they began chanting this phrase: Jews remember Kabar, the army of Muhammad is returning. So you're saying, well, what's that? Kabar is the name of the Jewish city about 90 miles north of Medina in Saudi Arabia, which existed in the time of Muhammad. The Muslims slaughtered the city's Jews in 628 AD, and it's used today as a battle cry when wanting to attack the Jews. But here's the video. Somebody captured it, praise God, on their cell phone, and I hurry up and got a copy of it myself before it disappeared. But here's what went on in the United States of America after Trump's decision to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And again, watch the American girl, and I'm just sitting there going like, you got to be kidding me. What is our universities producing? Okay, let's take a look.
With occupation in Palestine. Also has to be stopped and to be finished. We have to start a new intifada. Intifada, intifada.
Intifada, intifada.
We look to the Palestinian vanguard with their incredible courage. The Palestinians fight with whatever they can.
In the United States of America. As we saw on Thursday, you take Trump out of office, you get Democrats back in power, our country, believe it or not, folks, will become anti-Semitic just like that. We have been given a window of opportunity, I believe, as Christians, a moment of spiritual reprieve. I don't work for the Trump campaign. I'm just looking at it as a Christian from a prophetic point of view. We have a window, and that window, we need to be responsible with it. And if you're going to do something for Jesus, you better do it now, okay? We need to be responsible. But then the Jewish writer writing this article where this video was at, he even quoted the prophetic significance. He quoted Jeremiah 20:19, "I will make them, the Jewish people, a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror and hissing and scorn among all the nations which I shall banish them." And folks, you're seeing that go on even today. But again, it went nuts all over the world, right? Let me give you a couple examples here. Right after that, the U.S. Embassy in London, there were 3,000 Palestinian protesters began chanting, "Down with the USA, hands off Jerusalem," and again, their Muslim violent chant to kill the Jews, K-bar, K-bar. Vienna erupted around the Arab call to kill the Jews. Over in that area. The same night, 200 Palestinian protesters in Sweden called to shoot the Jews. 20 men firebombed a nearby synagogue, trapped several people inside the building. Then they went off and firebombed a Jewish cemetery. That was in Sweden. The Islamic Al Jazeera Network shared their readers' response to Trump's decision. This person said, "Jerusalem is the capital of my country, Palestine forever. Even if this stupid clown with yellow hair announced the opposite, Jerusalem was and is be and will be the capital of Palestine." No, it won't. No, it never will be. Okay, but they are in an uproar. This person said, "Jerusalem is the city of peace for all three Abrahamic religions. Trump has no respect for that and would rather ignite a war for his own political purposes. Get this clown out of the White House." This person said, "For me, Jerusalem equals Palestine's capital. I don't even, listen to this, recognize the existence of the criminal and what? Hitlerian state of Israel." Now, how sick is that? Hitler's the one who annihilated the Jewish people, and you're going to compare them to Hitler? This is crazy, folks. This is getting crazy all over the world. People are trembling. They're upset over Jerusalem. It's going nuts. This person said this: "It's important to the three faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. So what about marking an international zone where everybody can visit? No need to be selfish. No need to make people think, ooh, we're now the Jewish capital. Just let it be the capital for Abrahamic religions." Well, that pleases Pope Francis, that guy's mentality, because that's what he's trying to do. Okay, but then again, I'm just going to read headlines. All over the world, all nations are in an uproar. They're trembling over Jerusalem as we sit here, right? Palestinian envoy says U.S. recognition of Jerusalem is declaring war. Gaza burns U.S. and Israeli flags ahead of Trump recognizing a what? Jerusalem. Trump to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, sparking Arab Day of Rage plans. Yeah, like we're making you do it. Turkey's President Erdogan calls for an Islamic summit next week on Jerusalem. Iran will not tolerate Trump Jerusalem violation. Iran warns of intifada, violent confrontation against Israel over what? Over Jerusalem. Arab world blasts Trump's announcement on recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Saudi Arabia King Salman warns against embassy move to Jerusalem. Anybody starting to see the nations are upset? Then the UN got in on this, and they tried to get this reversed, which didn't work because we have our own sovereignty. They passed a non-binding resolution, and they condemned Trump for making that decision on Jerusalem. That vote was 128-9. Later, they voted in another session, and that vote was 14-1. And I'll show you who only was the one who stood up in the face of the nations across the world upset over Jerusalem in just a little bit. But Britain, believe it or not, even got in on the action. They joined the other 13 members of the UN Security Council in favor of this resolution calling for Trump to rescind his declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The global conflict was absolutely nuts. Here it is. Don't you miss her? Nikki Haley, man. The United States at this time cast its first veto in more than 6 years to block this baloney resolution. Nikki Haley, the former U.S. ambassador to the UN, denounced the resolution as, watch this, an insult. It won't be forgotten. And she said, "We're taking names." Watch this. This is cool.
President Trump has issued a warning to members of the United Nations. He's watching very closely a Thursday vote on his decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And according to a letter by UN Ambassador Nikki Haley obtained by CBS News, the president and the U.S. will take this vote personally. Haley also tweeted, quote, "We don't expect those we've helped to target us. And on Thursday, there will be a vote criticizing our choice. The U.S. will be taking names."
Will those in favor of the draft resolution contained in document S/2017/1060 please raise their hand? Thank you. Those against? Thank you. 14 votes in favor. One vote against.
The General Assembly is now voting The voting has
the U.S. has hit out after the United Nations delivered a stinging rebuke of its decision to recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. In an act of defiance, 128 countries called on Washington to withdraw its recent move. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, however, insisted nothing had changed.
To its shame, the United Nations has long been a hostile place for the state of Israel. Both the current and the previous Secretary Generals have objected to the UN's disproportionate focus on Israel. It's a wrong that undermines the credibility of this institution, and that in turn is harmful for the entire world. I've often wondered why, in the face of such hostility, Israel has chosen to remain a member of this body. And then I remember that Israel has chosen to remain in this institution because it's important to stand up for yourself. Israel must stand up for its own survival as a nation, but it also stands up for the ideals of freedom and human dignity that the United Nations is supposed to be about. Standing here today, being forced to defend sovereignty and the integrity of my country, the United States of America, many of the same thoughts have come to mind. The President's decision reflects the will of the American people and our right as a nation to choose the location of our embassy. There is no need to describe it further. Instead, there is a larger point to make. The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit. America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do. And it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, awesome, man. Love it when you see stuff like that. And so does Benjamin Netanyahu. Listen to what he said about Nikki Haley when she stood up to the whole world, basically, on their behalf. He said, "Thank you, Ambassador Haley. Listen, on Hanukkah, when that happened, you spoke like a Maccabi." I love this, right? You know, what's a Maccabi? Watch this. It refers to one of the Maccabees, derived from the Hebrew word meaning Makkabah, which means the hammer. She brought the hammer down, man. He said, "You lit a candle of truth. You dispelled the darkness. One defeated the many. Truth defeated the lies. Thank you, President Trump. And thank you, Nikki Haley." Amen. Well, folks, as you can see, the pattern here is, guess what? There's a major conflict going on of all places around the world. Where? In Jerusalem. Okay? Why? Because God said it has to happen this way. Zechariah 12, in the last days, 2,500 years ago. Roughly, folks, what's going to happen? Of all places, of all cities on the planet, again, not just in, he could have said New York, he could have said Beijing, but specifically Jerusalem is going to become a cup of trembling. It's happening right now. This fomentation over this decision has not gone away. And you're seeing evidence of it even begin to spread in our own country. And that brings me to an issue that we need to realize. What we're seeing right now is a partial fulfillment of Zechariah 12, if you paid attention to the text. One guy says this. He says, "What our political leaders have failed to understand is that the Israeli-Arab conflict is not a political one capable of a political solution. Instead, it's a spiritual conflict that can be traced back 4,000 years ago to the time of Abraham, when his family split between two descendants, his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And ever since the reestablishment of the state of Israel in 1948, the nation has been the focal point of world politics, and the status of Jerusalem has been the center of controversy. The United Nations originally wanted to internationalize the city. The Vatican has laid claim to the city. The Arabs demand that they give an exclusive sovereignty over the city. And the European Union, joined today by the UN, wants to divide it between the Jews and the Arabs. And President Trump's act of recognition has inflamed the debate and the hatreds that are rooted in the satanic anti-Semitism. In regard to that, his action led, listen, to a partial fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 12, but not his complete fulfillment. Why? Because the fulfillment of the prophecy must await the day. Listen, what did it say there? All the nations. Remember that? All the nations of the world, which means including the United States, will turn against Israel. So that means we got two possibilities where we're at right now, logically, biblically, prophetically. Number one, maybe Trump's going to reverse course and he'll stop supporting Israel. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I seriously doubt that. So that leaves us with only the other second option. A successor to Trump will be the one. Back to what we talked about again on Thursday. You take Trump out of office, you bring up the Democrat Party, who we saw is now not just anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, not just promoting socialism and liberalism, but they are the most anti-Semitic party in our country. And you got these young so-called freshman Democrats coming up with some of the most anti-Semitic hatred and comments in the United States of America, and they're not ousting them from the party. You get those people back in office, we could be at that final point. You won't have a Nikki Haley anymore raising the hand in defiance of the world. Well, one guy says, either way, this is a conflict that will only be resolved when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, returns to rule the world from where? Jerusalem. Folks, this is why you can daily turn on your news. And sometimes I think we become numb to it. Oh, yeah, Middle East peace, that's going on for decades now. And what's that? Once again, Israel. Another report on Benjamin Netanyahu? What's going on? Hey, every day we can turn on the news, and what do we see? Have we gotten numb to it, even as evangelicals? Israel and Jerusalem has become a source of world conflict. And people around the world, the nations around the world, almost all of them now, are in an absolute uproar. They're trembling. They're mad. It's a burden to them. I gotta. And that's a sign we're living the last days. Time is running out, folks. And this is why Jesus, of course, he makes the amazing statement. When these things begin to take place, what do? Stand up, run, head to the hills, freak out, hide. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation. What's he say? Man, you need to stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Folks, these are events that are going to culminate in the seven-year tribulation. The good news for you and I is what? We leave at the rapture prior to the seven-year tribulation. We don't know the day nor the hour, but when we see we're that close to the all nations fulfillment of hating the Jewish people, even getting riled up over this Jerusalem issue, then how much closer is the rapture of the church? Time is running out. That's exciting news. So we just need to finish as a faithful bride, amen? We need to get the gospel out to as many people as we can. That's why we're still here, okay? But not only that, if you're here, if you're not saved, you better get saved right now. The rapture is imminent, which means it can happen at any moment, even today. And if you're left behind, Jesus said it is the worst time in the history of mankind. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be here when God pours out his wrath for 7 years nonstop. The Bible says for the Christian, the born-again Christian, that when the rapture happens prior to that event, we're sucked away in all this baloney, all this evil, all the wickedness. It just fades away for the Christian. But right after that event, bang, the seven-year tribulation begins. God's wrath begins to pour out. It actually starts, Revelation 6:1, starts off with a false utopia, false peace, with the rise of the Antichrist. Those nasty Christians are gone. Now we've made it to the age of utopia. We've got a one-world ruler who will save the day. That doesn't last very long because the next seal is the Red Horse Rider. A global war breaks out on this planet and begins to systematically annihilate the planet. By the time you get to the fourth seal, it tells you the number. Just in the first half of the seven-year tribulation, one-fourth of the planet is annihilated. Folks, the population today, do the statistics, that's about 2 billion people are going to die just in the first half. It's going to be a horrible war. Folks, you don't want to be there. If you're not saved, you better get saved right now. That war might look something like this. We'll close in prayer after this.
watching.
The whole world is watching.
The course of human history has changed today.
This is not a test. This is an emergency broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible.
We're seeing heavily armed forces being deployed.
Every man make himself and his country proud. Be brave.
Billion people go just like that. And that's in the earlier part of the first half of the 7 years, nonstop. You can't hide beneath the couch. There's only one way out of that mess, and that's through Jesus Christ. I don't know your heart. But if you're not saved, you better get saved right now. God loved you enough to make the way, the only way, to be rescued from his wrath. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in your place. That's what the cross was. He was no criminal. He was the Messiah, God's one and only Son. He lived the perfect life in our place. He died the perfect death on the cross to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. And God said that if you would put your faith in that, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. God will rescue you from that event. But if you don't, and the rapture would happen today, you're going into the 7-year tribulation. Please don't make that mistake. And church, it's high time we stop getting distracted, being more concerned about the weather or who's going to win what game or what new series is coming out. We need to get busy sharing the gospel to as many as we can. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our study today. We just pray that you would seal it in our hearts and our minds as your people and cause us not to be fearful but faithful. This is a privileged generation that we live in. Of all times, of all generations for us to live, it's now as you're wrapping things up. Help us, cause us, God, by your Spirit, to be faithful, that faithful, loving bride who not just says we love you, but we show that we love you by keeping your commands, including the command of the Great Commission. And God, as always, again, I don't know the heart, but there's anybody here who is not truly saved. Please save them before it's too late. This is not a game. God, you know that more than we. That's why you tell us these things in advance. You're giving them an opportunity to be rescued before it's too late. But thank you again for our study. Please bless it all to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.